In your New Testament, please, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to see a text in Ephesians 4. We'll move over into Ephesians 5. I've got the New King James Version tonight. We're going to go into Ephesians 4, move into Ephesians chapter 5. Welcome to especially visitors we have again tonight. We're delighted that you are here. Again, we say welcome to you. You've already encouraged us. Thank you for being with us tonight. Jason, thank you for your good prayer. And Ben, for your good article that you have had in the bulletin today and the thought that you put into that, that's going to be of help to us. Appreciate Ben Smith's work on that. Cody, your leadership tonight in songs. Some of my favorite songs. I love singing those songs. We were sitting there, especially in Christ Alone, and I was hearing a tenor. Well, it was James Dow sitting in front of me, and I thought when he got up and went to sit somewhere else for the last song, I'm going and sitting behind James Dow to sing the last song too. Heaven's going to be a perfect place, and I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I'm going to sing tenor in heaven. My family's saying that's not going to be the deal because there's no sin in heaven. Some of you will get that on the way home. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at how the Apostle Paul begins. The language, I therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. I beg with you. I beg with you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you have been called. Put on, verse 24, Ephesians 4, the new man, having put off the old man, but the new man, Ephesians 4, 24, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And this worthy walk sure has, it's got to have everything to do with putting away lying, verse 25, or no longer stealing, verse 28, or not letting any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only, verse 29, only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Bitterness, verse 31, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's the worthy walk. That's how we're to live as those recreated in God, to walk in what is true and righteous and good. Chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God. And walk in love, verse 2. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse or crude jesting or joking, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, verse 5, Ephesians 5, this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, the sons of disobedience. For you, verse 8, you were once darkness. You were once darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. For all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then, now that you walk circumspectly or accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We'll stop there. I'm interested, particularly in that language back in verse 8, where he says, at one time you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, you're light in the Lord, so now live like it. And that life That walk has everything to do with one who's now in fellowship with God. Not walking in darkness, walking in light. And the fruit of that is what's good and righteous and truthful. And those who are walking as light, who are living as light in the Lord, verse 10, are surely those who are only interested in trying to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. In fact, one translation says in verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And he puts that obligation on the Ephesians. He puts that obligation on us as saints, sanctified in Christ, holy ones. He says, see, people who are saints in Christ, who are interested in finding out what is really pleasing to the Lord as children of light, they're going to be very discerning. They're going to weigh and measure. They're going to put to the test what they hear, how they believe, to make sure that what they hear and what they believe is in line with what is good, what is right, what is true. They're not going to try to see how close to sin they can get without sinning. They're not going to try to flirt with evil. They're going to flee from evil. That's what children of light do. So as Christians living as children of light, three things Paul says in this context. He says, children of light, they do not participate in the darkness. Look again at the context. Verses 3, 4, and 5 of chapter 5. Sexual immorality, all impurity, or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place. That has no place. That has no place. It's not proper. It doesn't fit one who claims to be holy. That doesn't fit someone who claims to be desiring, discerning what is a sanctified life, which means, yes, set apart from darkness, set apart from sin, but consecrated to just do what is right before the Lord, to please the Lord. So these sins that he mentions here, he says they're out of place. And in fact, he ends again by making the point that those who practice such, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. We understand light. I believe that we do. I mean, how many times have you heard someone reference and preach, you know, the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 when he says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. I mean, it's got to shine so that they may see. See what? Your good works. Why? So that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. I mean, you're, the way you live has to make a positive, must make a positive difference, and people need to see. Not so as to draw attention to yourself, but draw attention to He who is holy. I mean, you're His representative. I'm His representative. Children of light. You see, as the body of Christ, as the redeemed in Christ, as the saved ones in Christ, our lives have to matter. Our lives have to make a difference. How can the church stand out and recommend the will of God if I have become a moral mess? Now, there's forgiveness for all sins. We've got to change our ways and change our thinking. But if I continue to persist in what I know is unclean and impure and unholy, described by darkness, my light's not shining. I'm not adorning, in the language of Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, I'm not adorning the God, the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. My walk in the Lord, Paul says, your walk in the Lord must not involve the participation in what is sinful. And number two, he says, don't associate with the darkness. I mean, he says it twice in this context. We looked at it, verse 7, therefore do not become partakers with them, those who walk in darkness, those who continue in these sins. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I mean, to take no part, to not become partners, don't join with them. Don't participate in the sins that they're involved in and don't even have a desire to be around them. The language is pretty clear. Have no association with. If sinners seek to entice you in the language of Proverbs 1 and verse 10, here's God's wisdom, Proverbs 1 and verse 10. If sinners seek to entice you, do not join them. Or verses 15 and 16, still in Proverbs 1. Do not go along with them. Stay far from their path, for they are pursuing what is wrong. My walk in the Lord must not lead me to associate with sinners. Don't participate. Don't associate. And then he says, don't tolerate. This is just as important as the other two. I fear sometimes we grab hold of number one point and number two point, but we don't look at the context carefully. And maybe you have looked at the context carefully. And he says, now you don't tolerate the darkness. Again, verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but he doesn't stop there. He finishes and he says, but instead, here's another obligation, instead expose them. See, he takes it past simply the refusal to participate. He takes it past simply the refusal to engage in the sins that they are committing. He says there's more that you need to do as children of light. There's more obligation you have as holy ones, saints in Christ Jesus. We are to reprove, expose, and confront what is sinful. And that can be, in my estimation, that can be just as much a challenge as keeping our distance from the sins. Is the speaking out against them? Is the confronting of them? Is the exposing of them? The reproving of them? I mean, I can't say it's okay. I can't turn and look the other way as if it's not happening. It's not around me. I can't seek to minimize, I should not seek to minimize or excuse the sinful behavior of others. Somebody says, but what if the sinner won't come to the light? And I know that's true. That's true, unfortunately, of far too many. Take the light to them. Children of light, what I'm saying is children of light cannot remain neutral. We cannot remain silent. Our walk in the Lord must be courageous enough to empower and embolden us to expose and confront darkness around us. Which is one of the reasons, just one, which is one of the reasons I encourage us as Christians to pray without ceasing for wisdom and for courage. Courage to confront and wisdom to confront at the right time in the right way. Because we're not just simply trying to get someone told. We're not simply trying to win an argument. Our motive primarily is to win the soul. Are you participating in what you know is wrong? Repent and change. Have you been associating with those who are doing wrong? And they're enticing and seeking to entice you to join with them in doing wrong, because at times, those who are sinning, they want more company. They want more to sin with them. Are you associating with those who are sinning? Are you tolerating those who are sinning? The fruit of such light, again, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, the fruit of such light is seeking only what is good, only what is right, and only what is true. Again, they're seeking to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Seeking to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, James says to us that the Word is like a mirror. I mean, the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's discerning. It's revealing. It will show us the flaws. It will show us where change is needed if we'll look into it honestly and humbly. If I'll open it up and see what the Word says about me and about my life and how I'm living. But unfortunately, one of the easiest things to do is when we don't like what we see, we stop looking. We just stop looking. And that's not a big deal if you walked into the mirror this morning and you didn't like the way your hair looked, and so instead of trying to change your hair, you just turned and stopped looking in the mirror. That's not a big deal. But when there's a spiritual blemish, when there's a stain that's sinful, and you close the Word and you stop looking because you don't like what you see and you don't like what you hear and what you read, there's no other way that the Holy Spirit of God can convict us of sin. If you're here tonight and there's something in your life that you know has separated you from God, it's sinful, repent of that, turn from that. And thanks be to God that He's ready and willing to forgive and to pardon us of any and all sin. If you're here tonight and you've got sin in your life, come clean before God. And maybe you need to come clean before God's people. Maybe you just need the help of God's people, or maybe you just need to say to God's people, I'm wanting to make a change, and I'm ready to make a change, and I want you to know I'm not going to be who I once was, and I'm asking for your help, and I'm asking for your forgiveness, if we can help you in that way. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never come to Christ in initial faith and in obedience, believing that He was who He said He was, the Christ of God, a willingness to repent of your sins and to receive God's pardon and grace and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse you, that can forgive you, that can wash away all of your sins. Let today be the day of your salvation. If we can help you spiritually in any way, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?